I have a confession to make. Nobody knows what's coming. I have an addiction that I struggle with every day. So do you. So do you. You as well. Now, some of us are more willing to admit it than others. And yes, some of us are thinking, I can't think of something that I'm addicted to. But some of us struggle with addiction to things like alcohol, drugs, pornography, money, materialism, popularity, power, all of these things. But if we're honest, if we're really truly honest with ourselves, we all have to admit that we're addicted to sin, that we're addicted to selfishness, that we're addicted to doing what we want to do and not what God wants us to do. And this is not something that's new in the world. Paul says the same thing. He says, you know, I want to do what God wants me to do, but I struggle. I struggle. And those addictions manifest in many different ways. Many different ways. We all struggle with an addiction. But also, we are all called to walk with God. We're all called to walk with God. And we're going to continue our series through the book of Genesis today. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapters 5, 6, and 7. So buckle up. That's about 3 hours worth of material. If you're upset, Rick's the one who made the outline, so go to him. But we're called to walk with God. And where we pick up after chapter 4, overlap just a little bit. At the end of chapter 4, Adam and Eve bear another child, and they name him Seth. And if you look at chapter 4, verse 26, it says, to Seth also a son was born, and he called him Enosh. And at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. And this is where the division of the line of Cain and the line of Seth, right? The line of Cain following sin, following selfishness, the line of Seth following God, right? The godly line that ultimately is preserved through Noah, and we'll get there today. But where we pick up, see if I can make technology work. All right. Except I didn't get it prepared at all. Yeah, I did. You ever have those just like pleasant delights where you reach your hand into your pocket, there's a dollar bill? Sometimes it's a 20, and you're so happy. But this is where we pick up. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. And if we look at it, starting at verse 4, verse 5. Let's see if it'll catch up. A little sad, it's not working. There it goes. Oh, man, it's really dragging. Can I ask you all a favor? Can you just, like, turn the Wi-Fi off on your phones? If you're plugged into the Wi-Fi at the church, turn your Wi-Fi off. See if that helps. Everybody's like, ain't gonna make no difference. It's like not having your phone plugged in on the airplane. You ever notice? I'm telling you, if we're walking that razor line of power for this plane to take off, that if I have my phone plugged in, we're gonna crash. I don't know if I want to be on there. That's scary stuff, right? They're like walking back. They're like, sir, your phone's plugged in. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm charging it. Get out of here. You can't hardly keep, so you don't trip when you have to leave. Those cords plug, they never say that. They do not say that. They do a lot of this. But they don't tell you why you don't plug your phone. You bump, you get that wrapped around your leg, that'll pull out like, pink, no problem. Matt, yeah. I do want to know what the real reason is. So they're doing it to save my phone? You're saying that they don't care about me? Man, they care about my money. Man. Well, screw around long enough and things will catch up. Thank you. Let's get back on track. Walking with God. This is what we're talking about. But here's what I see. In chapter 5, there's this whole list of names. The descendants of Adam through the line of Seth. And as I'm looking at it, and I hope that this will go. It was working earlier this week. But what I notice is, if you look at verse 4, Adam fathered Seth, who's 800 years old. Anybody up for that? 800 years old having babies? Thus all the days Adam lived, and he died. Let's see. You can look in your Bibles. It's there. It'll come up eventually. But then you look at verse 6. In verse 7, it says, thus all the days of were Seth, right? So Seth lived, and then he died. And then it goes to Enosh in verse 9. In verse 10, it says, Enosh lived, and he died. You'll see in a minute. Then Kenan, in verse 12, right? Kenan lived, and then he died. And then in verse 15, Mahalalel, name your next dog that. He lived, and he died. And then in verse 18, Jared lived, and he died. And then Enoch, we'll come back to Enoch, but then Methuselah in verse 25, Methuselah lived, and he died. And then Lamech and Noah, he lived, and then he died. Still nothing. I'm sad. Can you see it up there, though? That he lived, and he died. But if you look at Enoch, when Enoch lived 65 years, it doesn't say that Enoch lived. It says that Enoch, in verse 22, it says Enoch walked with God. And then he fathered Methuselah 300 years. He had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And then he was not. For God took him. For God took him. Walked with God. What's the difference? Because in the end of verse chapter 4, it says, at that time the people began to call upon the name of the Lord. But with Enoch, it says that he walked with God. He walked with God. So far behind. I hope it goes. I'm going to try again. Let's do this. Because I really want you to see. This is like the most important picture. It won't even shut off. There we go. All right. Bring it back up. Let's go. Yeah. And my doggy. This is Breezy. She's a pretty girl. She won't let you touch her. The kids can attest to this. They've seen her. But Breezy's a little shy. Breezy lived in a kennel for a year and a half without much interaction with people. And then we adopted her. And now we get to go for a walk on the beach every day. every single day, rain or shine, it doesn't matter. If I don't, she will eat my face all night long. But we go for a walk. I take Breezy for a walk every day. But it also meant that I go for a walk almost every day, schedule permitting, with my wife Jackie. And I started to realize that as Breezy's running around and sniffing everything and putting her smell on everything, I get to walk with my wife and talk and spend time just interacting that we had not done for a while, because it's easy to get caught up with life and go home and turn the TV on and scroll through Facebook and not really talk with one another. But while we're at the beach walking Breezy, we really talk with one another. We really interact. We really discuss the things that are going on with our day and the things that we're concerned about, and just building our relationship. Because walking together is building relationship. God wants relationship, not just knowledge. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you just to know that he exists. He wants you to walk with him daily. And this is what Enoch did. Enoch walked with God, and then God plucked him out of this evil world. Because in the next chapter, we see that it starts getting really bad. It starts to get bad. And I'm just going to have to cheat on this, aren't I? You know, whatever works. Let's see if it comes up. Anyway, yep. So we look at chapter 7. And in verse 5, chapter 6. And we see the condition of where humanity is. And if you look at verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Then you look at verse 8. It says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Noah found favor. Noah is quick to, Noah finds favor with the Lord, but he does it by having faith. By having faith. He found favor with God, and that is God's grace to him, right? God, it doesn't say that Noah didn't sin. It says every intention of mankind was always evil all the time. But here is a man who tries to walk with God. And we see a little later that it does say Noah walked with God. If you look at verse 9, Noah walked with God. So here's a man who's seeking relationship with God, not just a head knowledge, not just I'll worship God when it's time to worship God, but I'll do me when it's time to do me. And Noah found favor in the eyes of God. He found that grace. Because Noah, with all people, is a sinner. But God's not looking for perfection. He knows we cannot attain perfection. We've already screwed that up, right? The chance, you live perfect the rest of your life, you're still not perfect because we've all sinned, right? So the chance for perfection is gone. But God is not looking for perfection, but he's looking for a heart that desires him. And Noah desired to walk with God. Found favor in verse 8. But then if we look at verse 9, it says Noah was a righteous man. So how does he get that righteousness? If we look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 7, it says this: "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark." Spoiler alert, it's coming. "Constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Right? So he isn't perfect. He's not accomplishing salvation for himself. He is righteous because of his faith in God. He trusts God. And he's righteous in God's eyes because of that faith, that trust in God to save him. It also says, so verse 8, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. So he's righteous in the eyes of God, but he's blameless in the eyes of man. And this is something that we've been talking about in youth group. We talked about this just this week. The word integrity is probably one of the greatest characteristics a person can have. The greatest character traits. To do the right thing, whether you're going to get in trouble or you're not going to get in trouble. To have integrity, to be a person like that. And Noah, in the eyes of man, and we are called to do this too, live in a blameless way in your culture, in your society, in your town, and in your home, so that no one can cast blame on you, so that they can't say, well, this person or that person. It doesn't say that he was perfect. He screwed up, but he was a man of integrity. He was a man who seeked after God and lived blamelessly in the eyes of the people around him. So we see Noah was a righteous man. Noah was blameless in his generation. But we also see, if you skip down towards the end of the chapter, it says, verse 22, Noah did this. So what is this? Here we get God saying, build an ark. Starting in verse 14, make yourself an ark. He names the kind of wood. He names all of the dimensions. He lists all the sizes. He says, get all the animals. Many of you are familiar with the story. If you're not, do read it word for word. But what he's saying is build this ark because it's going to flood. He says in verse 13, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But he had gave mercy and grace to Noah. And he says, build this ark. It's something like 100 years after God says, build this ark until the flood. We get upset about having to wait an hour for God to answer something. Well, God said he would do this in my life. It's been like a week. When is this going to happen? Noah is patient with the Lord because he trusts in the Lord. And it says in verse 22, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. He did not know why. It didn't make sense to him. I don't live near the ocean. I'm going to build the biggest ship in the history of mankind to that point. And you, I don't know. But Noah did. Noah did. He said, God told me to, so I'm going to do it. I'll do what he asked me to do, whether it makes sense to me or not. Whether people are going to come after me and pick on me for building this massive boat far away from the water. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Noah did this. He was obedient. He did not just hear God's word, but he did it. And we're told about this in the book of James. James writes in chapter 1, starting in verse 22, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently into his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself, goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, it's a word we don't like to hear, persevere, because that means pushing through difficulties, through struggles, through times we don't understand. He says, but if anyone perseveres, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We're not called just to sit here and hear God's direction in our lives. This is a time where we gather together as a church family, as a family in Jesus Christ, and we gain direction. Where we allow transformation to happen in our lives and we have direction. The goal isn't just to be here. This isn't the success. This is where we learn what we're supposed to do. And then we go and we act on the Word of God with that unified direction, working as a team, as a family. This isn't the goal, the end all be all. This is where we learn so that we can go and do. And wouldn't it be an awesome thing if somebody wrote something about you and in the end they said, he or she did all that God commanded them. That would be an awesome obituary, wouldn't it? Did everything that God commanded him. But it wasn't easy, because what kind of world was Noah living in? What did we see earlier? What was the world like? It was always evil all the time, right? It was always evil all the time. And so here's Noah building an ark on dry land in a world of people who are wicked and evil all the time. How do you think that interaction went? I don't think that they came up to him and were like, hey, what you doing? Building a boat? Why? They don't care what God says. God said? You're one of those guys? You're going to do what God said? You're going to give up extra money and a promotion because of what God said? You're going to go live where and how because of what God said? You're not going to participate. It's not that you're not going to have a good time. I think anybody can attest. It's really nice to wake up the next morning and know what you did the night before. Then you can enjoy the good time the next day too. Not just while it's happening and then not remember, right? So these people are not coming up to Noah and being kind. They didn't live in a world of tolerance. They were giving him a hard time. And it's hard work. He has to get all of the wood for this massive boat. He has to gather all the food for the massive amount of animals that are coming. He has to get it all ready, all sealed up, all watertight. Those of you who have boats know it's a lot of work. And we have boats that are a lot easier to keep afloat. And it takes a lot of work. 100 years worth of work. And he pushed through it. Pushed through it. In chapter 7, he continues and he says, okay, gather the animals. And at verse 5 again, it says, Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. He's just pushing through this. He's making it happen. But as you live in this world, which is becoming more and more anti-God, especially anti-Christian, it's not going to be easy to do what God calls you to do. There will be ridicule. There will be name-calling. There will be accusations that aren't true. There will be the possibility of jobs lost. Struggles. And that's just in this realm that we see. That's not including what's going on in the spiritual realm that we don't see. The battles and the struggles. But Noah did all that God commanded him to do. And then Noah is told by God to go into the ark. In verse 12, it says, and the rain started to fall. And on the very same day, verse 13, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of the sons of them, entered the ark. So they go into the ark, because God says go into the ark. So they go into the ark. And in verse 16, at the end of that paragraph, you see, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. See, living in the will of God and doing what God has commanded you to do brings the Lord's protection. It brings his protection. And I don't be confused. And I learned this from Raib when he was up here. He says, I never pray for safety, I pray for protection. Because protection does not necessarily mean safety. Because we don't know what God's plan is. And sometimes God has a plan through someone's death. And people are being martyred. And we're in lands where people are being martyred, Christianity is growing at a phenomenal rate. And in lands like America where there is less persecution, it's hard to even come to church. So don't confuse God's protection with safety. It may not be safe at all, but that does not mean that God is not protecting you. Because the ultimate protection is that no one and nothing can take you from the hands of God. They can take your life, but they cannot take your salvation. And we just don't always understand God's plans. But he has promised us that he will protect us if we're living in his will. We have his protection. God shut and secured the ark. If you jump to verse 23, it says, only Noah was left and those who were in the ark with him. Because it talks in verse 19 about God's judgment. Right? So here, verse 19. And the waters prevailed. So it starts to rain. And the waters increased, verse 17. And the waters prevailed, verse 18. And verse 19 says, the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. And waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits. That's like, what? 15 cubits. A cubit's 18 inches. So that's like 30 feet-ish. Enough that you can't stand on the mountain. So it's like 30 or so feet deep over the high mountains. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all the swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of heavens, they were blotted out from the earth. And only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. By God's protection, right? If God wasn't protecting Noah, he would not have told him to build an ark. But he did. And Noah built the ark. Noah followed God's command. And then God sealed him in the ark. And God protected him. And they were on the ark a long time. And Pastor Rick will talk about that more next week. But from this we understand that we live in a society that's like, God loves you. Right? True. God loves you just how you are. Right? No. That's not true. God loves you in spite of who you are. That's grace. If God loved you exactly how you are before you're a Christian, Jesus would not have had to come and die on the cross. Understand that. Don't get into this whole lovey-dovey thing about Jesus loves everybody so everybody's accepted. God judges sin. We see it here. He promises later he won't do it the same way, but he also promises way later that he's going to come back and judge everyone. He cannot accept sin. That's why Jesus came. He died so the sin would be wiped away. If you have faith in him, then you have the righteousness of Christ and you're right with God through Jesus Christ, not yourself. You are made righteous. You don't earn righteous. And God does not tolerate sin. He's being patient and giving people time to turn to him. When he returns, the patience will have run out and there will be judgment. So understand in your life that there are going to be consequences for this. God does not tolerate sin. He cannot accept it. He will judge again when that time is up. So what does this all mean? I'm seeing my next slide before you do, and it makes me happy. My dad's favorite all-time movie is What About Bob? This is like his favorite scene. And it's so appropriate in a room full of fishermen and fisherwomen and boaters. And he's out on this yacht. Anybody remember him yelling? He's a real sailor. You know you're a real sailor when you shout, ahoy! Instead of saying hello. Weston, that's how you greet, right? When you're on your boat and somebody's walking the dock, ahoy? No? Yes? No? Maybe not. Well, Bob does. Bob does. Part of this book, I mean this movie, is interesting though, because we're talking about walking with God, right? And what advice, you remember the advice that Dr. Leo Marvin gives him? What's his book called? Baby Steps, right? And so Bob really takes that to heart, just baby steps out of the office. Because what would you say his medical condition is? Was he schizophrenic? Paranoid? He was just like crazy OCD and paranoid? Yeah. But like just baby steps out of this room. Just focus on one thing at a time. But this is it. We're called to walk with God. And the saying goes what? A walk of 1,000 miles begins with one step, something like that. And it's the same with God. We're called to walk with God. And that starts with one step, and that's trusting Jesus Christ. That's your first baby step. If you've never done that and you're here today, you can do that today. You can trust in God. You can take that first step. Don't worry about the next one. That'll take care of itself when it gets here. Take that first step. It all starts with one step, baby steps. As the praise team comes forward, I want us to think about this. I don't know, maybe you've heard about these bloggers who fell in Yosemite Park. Has anybody heard of this? It's on the news, right? There's this couple originally from India. I think they were living in California at the time. But they were travel bloggers, and they liked to get the most exciting pictures. And they were taking a picture at the edge of a cliff, and we don't really know what happened, whether there was a gust of wind or somebody lost their footing. But they both, they're husband and wife, and they fell 800 feet when they were taking a selfie, presumably, because they took a lot of selfies. In the last 6 years, 250 reported deaths have come related to selfies. But what are you doing when you're taking a selfie? You're focusing on yourself, right? You're 100%. I mean, you've got the camera out in front of you. You're looking at the camera, looking at you. Because you're just looking at yourself on the camera and you're taking pictures and you're not paying attention to what's going on around you necessarily. Man, I'm so tired of people bumping into each other. You see this? Because they're so focused on themselves that they're not paying attention to what's going on around them. And like taking a selfie, we can become focused on the wrong thing. We can become focused on the wrong thing and step right into death. Just walk right into it without even knowing that it's coming. Because we're focused on ourselves and our own understanding and not trusting in God. And there's a big difference. We're to walk with God. That's an interesting word too. Because it's an action word. It's a verb of movement. Walk with God. It doesn't say to sit with God or relax with God or lounge with God. It says walk with God. To take action. We're called to take action. We need to get the right focus. Let's take that first baby step together. And if you've taken that first one and trusted in Jesus Christ, let's take that next one and ask Him, what do you want me to do? I don't care if I understand or I don't understand. What do you want me to do? And I will do it. Let's be the kind of people that at the end of our lives, they can say they did all that God commanded them to do. Let's think of our relationship with God as something that we do, not just something that is for us. We're called to live and love God and do what He has called us to do. So let's go for a walk with God. What do you say? And take that step. God, what do you want me to do? And when He tells you, whether you understand it or you don't understand it, whether it's too big for you or it's not, He has it and He knows how to make it work. And then take that step again. Now I know what you want me to do. I'm going to do it. And don't worry about the 500 steps from now. Worry about that one step at a time. Trust in God. And as we sing this last song, let's make it our prayer, our call to action, to leave behind the old and walk in the new. It doesn't matter where you're at now. Let's move forward. And let's be the kind of people and the kind of church that do what God has called us to do. So you can sit, you can stand, you can kneel, you can pray, you can come forward. If God's calling you and He's telling you to take a baby step, like come to the altar, like take a knee, stay seated, stand up, move in the aisle, put your hands up. Don't take that lightly. Because He calls us to little things first. Because if He can't trust you with little, He can't trust you with a lot. And sometimes those little things is then scary. Well, I don't know. I go to Glacier View Baptist Church. We don't go up front. Are you kidding me? That makes me very nervous. I don't care if you understand it or not. You know in your heart if God's calling you to do that, you do it. Take those baby steps. There is not a single person here who will judge you for that. They'll be proud of you. But let's do what God has called us to do. And we'll start by singing His praise because He has rescued us. And His arms are open and He gives us forgiveness and calls us to new life. So you can sing, you can stand, but let's praise God together.